brothers and sisters. By way of exhortation this morning, I would like to take a look at some four contrasts in the life of Paul, as recorded for us in the Acts and the daily readings over the last week and during the coming week, God willing. So we're going to look at some of the similarities with the other characters throughout the scriptures and then hopefully draw some instruction and comfort from them. And we'll start back in Acts chapter 11. I'll look at verses 22 to 26. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So here we find Paul being sought after by a man. That man was Barnabas, and Barnabas knew the capabilities of the man and so wanted to draft him in, ready to perform the work that he knew that God had chosen for Paul. If we think of somebody in the Old Testament who was sought after by a man, we can think of Saul of the Old Testament. I'm just going to look at 1 Samuel in chapter 9. Verses Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So Saul here is described as a goodly man. But it is talking about his outward appearance. He was a man who appeared to be a leader because he stood out from the crowd, being head and shoulders above the rest. We all know, however, what the outcome was for Saul. He was a man who strayed easily from his trust in God and from the instructions that he was given. It was this disobedience that eventually resulted in him being deposed from the kingship. He failed to do what God had commanded of him in the destruction of the Amalekites, the people of whom we read of in Deuteronomy 25, that God wanted to blot out the remembrance of them from under heaven. In the end, it was Samuel who had to finish off the task, and so God had to choose another king for Israel. The contrast in Paul's life is his calling by God following his return with Barnabas. And this we find a few pages over in Acts chapter 13. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. God separated Paul and Barnabas for a purpose because of the spiritual characteristics which they showed, in contrast to Saul, where he was chosen because of the physical characteristics which he had. This contrast for Saul in the Old Testament is emphasized by the narrative around the choosing of David. Whilst we read this next section, it's worth thinking about the fact that David was probably physically not that different to Saul, given that Saul offered his armor to David when he went out to challenge Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Verse 11, And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. We all know that David is a man highly commended throughout scriptures. Let's look particularly at Acts in chapter 13 and verses 21 and 22. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man by the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfil all my will. This praise is something that we should all look forward to. We strive for that commendation of our Master. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Let us always remember that it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Paul, we know, had confidence and longing for the return of his Master as he approached the time of his death. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The next occasion in Paul's life have both similarities and contrasts. We're going to look at a physical and a spiritual healing. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, whom never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leapt and walked. Paul heals the man physically because he had no need of spiritual healing. Paul was able through the Holy Spirit to perceive that the man had the faith to be healed. I'd like to think of Naaman as a similar case. 2 Kings and chapter 5. Naaman was a great and powerful man, but he had a physical problem. God had given him great power, but he was a leper. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Anatabana and Pharpa, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman was required to perform a simple act to show his faith that he might become clean. We too, through baptism and our weekly remembrance of the death and resurrection of our Lord, show our desire to be clean. The acts are simple because God does not require the blood of lambs and goats, but rather obedience. A lesson for us from 1 Samuel 22, when Saul doesn't obey in killing the Amalekites. The contrast in Paul's life is to be found in Acts 13 in the record of his dealings with Elymas. Paul and Barnabas are in Cyprus with the deputy of the country. The deputy is good friends with a sorcerer, Elymas. Acts 13 and verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about, seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now this seems a little harsh on first reflection, does it not? Yet the actions of Paul are out of love to achieve a spiritual healing. In the short term with the deputy, and in the longer term with Elymas, who would be able to perceive the truth better without the distractions of this world that we see through our eyes. In the life of our Lord Jesus, we can think of Zacchaeus as a man who went through a spiritual healing. Luke chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by any false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me reiterate the words of verse 9. This day is salvation come to this house. As part of Zacchaeus' healing, he responds by giving back the money or goods he has wrongfully taken and restores them four times the amount. This would probably mean that he would end up physically bankrupt, but spiritually he had gained so much. As part of our spiritual healing, we too are required to give something back to God. Our lives are dedicated in service to him, that at the end we may be able to obtain the ultimate physical healing. Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 5 and 6. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams the desert. The healing of these vile bodies to a mortal being, always living the glory of our Almighty Father. My third contrast, back in the life of Paul, is in Acts chapter 27. Paul is now on his final missionary journey, heading towards Rome. They've landed in Crete, and as it's now coming to winter, Paul advises them in verse 10, and he said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only for the lading and ship, but also of our lives." The centurion, however, decides to listen to the counsel of men. Verse 11, "And nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and northwest." We all know the end result, and Paul is shipwrecked on Malta. The problem here is that the centurion listened to the counsel of men, men who were thinking of their own comforts and physical existence, the pleasures of this life. The psalmist contrasts the counsel of men and God for us in Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 10. "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." We know full well that the only source of wisdom and counsel is the Scriptures, because they are the words inspired by God. They are the only words which are able to make us wise to salvation. The contrast in Paul's life was his trust in the things which God had shown to him. Further on in Acts chapter 27, verse 23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Also verse 44. "And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safely to land." Through Paul's trust in God and his conviction, seen by the centurion, all of those who set out with him from Crete survived. We too know to trust in our Heavenly Father, because we know that he provides all things for us and cares for us. Paul exhorted the Romans in chapter 8. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It matters not what life throws at us, as long as we keep the faith. This is what Paul tells in Philippians in chapter 4. Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." The final contrast I want to look at is in Acts chapter 16. Here we find Paul in Philippi, having converted Lydia and her household while they are continuing to preach the gospel. They are met by a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, and they heal. The men who are using her to make money are displeased by this and have Paul and Silas cast into prison. Verse 22 of Acts 16. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. We can compare this to our Lord himself, as we're told by Peter in his speech to the people in Acts chapter 2, that Jesus was slain because of the jealousy of men. Acts 2 verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinable counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Because of Jesus' teaching, he was taking away the people, and therefore the source of income for the Sadducees, scribes, and Pharisees. Jesus was spiritually healing the nation, but the hearts of those men were hardened against him, and so he was crucified on Calvary. The end of Paul's imprisonment is found for us in Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." God triggers their release by sending an earthquake. They were figuratively dead, but God had raised them up, and in the process he spiritually heals the jailer and his family. So we too can think of the resurrection of our Lord and Master. Back in Acts chapter 2, Paul continues, "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." God, in his righteousness, raised our Lord so that we too have a hope of everlasting, hope of life everlasting, if we are obedient to him. Something we now show in partaking of the emblem before us, which he has ordained until he comes.